Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, depending on how long you've lived in the community surrounding the church, or you may not even live in the community around the church, you may be watching from some other state, but if you live in the community around the church, then you've noticed quite a bit of change that has taken place in recent years. And it seems like the pace of change in our community is accelerating. Now, if you're watching from another community or another state, that may be the case in your area as well. So if it is, stay connected with us, because as we talk specifically about our area, the point that we make as we do is probably just as applicable for your area as it is for ours. And what Jesus told his followers is applicable to our area and to your area and to every area. So stay connected with us. But as I drive around our community, I am amazed at the amount of change that's taken place. If you drive just a short distance away from the church, you will notice a distribution center where there used to be a tree farm. Drive a little further down, and you'll notice a warehouse that used to be farmland. And I'm sure that there are all sorts of different responses and reactions to the change that's taking place in our community. But the reality that we face is that the change is happening. The change is taking place, whether we view it and respond to it positively or negatively. As I drive through the community, I'm amazed at the amount of change that's taking place as far as the housing that's available in the area. Along the same road as the distribution center and the warehouse are five new neighborhoods that are either built, being built, or planned to be built. And that's just in the distance between the church and where my family lives. If you go a different direction than that direction, there's one specific neighborhood not far from here that has built an entire new section onto it. And as I drive around and I notice the change and I notice these houses, and all around in between are houses being built on individual plots of land. And as I look at those houses and the new neighborhoods and all of that, I wonder who will live in those homes, because someone will be living in each of those homes. Now, if you're somebody who likes statistics, then you're going to really be engaged with the information that comes next. If you're not someone who likes statistics, hang in there with us, because the information that comes next helps us identify the type of people that live in the 8-mile radius around this church. And again, if you're watching from another area or another state or something like that, stay connected and maybe find some ways to discover what these statistics and demographics look like in your community as we head into the point that Jesus makes, okay? So here's the demographics, or the types of people that live within an 8-mile radius around Hurricane Community Church. As of 2019, the population was listed as 168,249 people. That's up about 17,000 from 2010. And it is projected to go up another 10,000 by 2024, which would take the population total up over 178,000 people. Now, I'm not an expert at statistics. I'm not an expert at projecting out these kind of numbers and stuff. But just based on what I see as I drive in the community, I think the area is growing faster than at the rate of 178,000 by 2024. So the age range of people that live in this area, 24% of the people who live in this area are between the ages of birth and 16 years old. 55% are between the ages of 17 and 57, which means that 79% of the people, 79% of the 168,000 plus people that live in this 8-mile radius are under the age, are 57 or under. And then 58 and over is 21% of the people that live in this community are 58 and over. So, what else do we know about the people that live in this age or in this area? 54% of them are married. 46% of them are single, whether it's through divorce, being widowed, or never having been married yet. 68% are dual parent households, and 26% are single parent households. So that's kind of the demographic and the dynamic of the people who live in this area. And their primary concern in life is based on their hopes and dreams. It's what they want out of life, and they want to get the most out of life. The primary tension that they experience is trying to figure out how to manage all of the expectations, whether those expectations are real or perceived. And I believe that as people navigate and manage the demands and expectations of life, and as they pursue their primary hopes and dreams, I believe that the church should be a place that helps provide them direction, guidance, care, and support in that journey. Unfortunately, according to the statistics, it doesn't seem like people are drifting towards the church or depending on the church or maybe even considering the church as some place that offers that in the pursuit of their hopes and dreams and managing the demands and expectations of life. Statistically, as far as it's related to church involvement, 30% of the people who live in this area, which is up a percentage points of 5% within the last 10 years, identify themselves as nuns. And what that means is when they are asked to declare or communicate or state their religious preference, they list none. They have no religious preference. It's not something they consider as a central and integral part of their life. And when it comes to specifically church involvement, 35% of the people that live in this area are not involved in church at all. That's about 70,000 people out of the 168,000 that live in this area. And when you expand the criteria to those that would say they're somewhat involved, that's another 32% or 54,000 people. So what this statistic tells us is that between those who are not involved at all and those who are somewhat involved, 124,000 of the 168,000 people are not leaning into the church to help them discover how to manage the demands and expectations of life and to pursue their hopes and dreams. When it comes specifically to what people believe about Jesus, 6.2% fewer people believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. Another 6.2% less people believe that Jesus was just a good and moral teacher and nothing more than that. And 6.8% fewer people believe that Jesus is the only way to right relationship with God. And when it comes to the church as a whole, one of the statistics that is so incredibly compelling to me, and in some ways condemning, is that 94% of the churches in America, not just this area, but 94% of churches in America are losing ground against the communities in which they're situated. What that means is that the community around them is growing at a rate faster than the church is. The church just simply isn't keeping up with the growth, which again points to the fact that people aren't leaning into the church as a place to discover how to manage the demands and expectations of life and to pursue their hopes and dreams. But in the midst of those compelling and condemning and maybe even a little bit discouraging statistics, there are a couple of things that I believe. I believe that HCC, this church, is positioned to help people discover how to manage the expectations and demands of life. I believe that. I also believe that HCC should intentionally strive to connect with those in the community and invite them to follow Jesus. One of the reasons why I believe that the church is positioned to help people manage and demand the expectations of life is because we are located right in the middle of the growth and change that is taking place. These new housing additions that are being built all around this church. And it presents an opportunity for this church to engage and connect with those people as they manage the demands and expectations of life and pursue their hopes and dreams. One of the other reasons why I believe the church is positioned to offer that help, care, guidance, and support is because the church is entrusted with the greatest message in all of history. It is a message that God loves us to do something about our broken condition. And God loves us enough to provide a blueprint for how to make life better and to be better at life. Now, one of the reasons that I believe the church should intentionally strive to connect with people in the community and invite them to follow Jesus is because of some stuff Jesus said. When Jesus gathered with his followers, when he was ready to kind of hand the baton of the mission to them, he gathered with them on a mountainside and he gave them a charge as to what they should do as followers of Jesus. One of his early followers and one of his closest followers, a guy by the name of Matthew, records what Jesus tells this group of followers. And again, this is specifically, he's talking to followers of Jesus. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're kind of off the hook on this one. But if you are a follower of Jesus, this is kind of a you're supposed to do it kind of thing. So there were probably somewhere about 120 people gathered on the mountainside with Jesus. And some other accounts report that there may have been as many as 500 people gathered around when Jesus talked to this group. And here's what he says to this group of people according to what Matthew recorded for us. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. The phrase all authority there, the word authority means all power and right and that kind of idea. And so what Jesus is saying is all the power of heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, the people that were gathered there with him, his followers that were there, they had seen Jesus do some pretty cool stuff. They had seen him heal people. They had heard him teach some pretty countercultural stuff and challenge the Jewish religious belief system of the day. They had seen him do and heard him say all of these things. But in this moment, they stood with him after a couple of things had happened. They had left everything to follow Jesus. And they were all in. And they'd heard it all. They'd seen it all. And then something happened that led them to believe it had all come to a screeching halt. Jesus died. But then something else happened. Jesus didn't stay dead as everyone expected him to. Jesus actually defeated death and rose from the dead. And in this moment when they are standing there with him, he is resurrected from the dead. They'd seen him die. They'd seen him taken down from the cross. They'd seen him placed in the tomb. And now they were standing with him again after all of that. He had predicted and pulled off his own death and resurrection. And my guess is if I was there that day, that would have gone a long way in putting to rest the question about any authority that Jesus might have had to tell me about maybe how to live my life. I mean, after all, if somebody can predict their own death and resurrection and then pull it off, they might have an insight into the way life works a little bit. So Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, all authority on heaven and earth, and I can ask anything of you that I want to ask. And then Matthew records what he asks. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Therefore, because, since I have all the authority and can ask anything of you that I want to ask, here's what I want to ask. Go and invite people to follow Jesus. He's talking to that group of followers gathered there, and he's telling them, this is what I want you to do. And I guess one of the words that's important to clarify in what Jesus said there is the word go. What does it mean to go? Well, in simplest terms, go means go. So that's that. But there's something else that's important to consider in the mix that Jesus talked about here. Notice that he doesn't say, don't gather together. He doesn't say, go and never get together with the followers and don't spend any time together, just always go. He doesn't say that. In fact, if you track the pattern of Jesus, he gathered with his followers all the time. They were together all the time as they went into the community and connected with people disconnected from God. And Jesus met in the Jewish religious synagogues. He met where religious people gathered. It was part of what he did. But throughout all of that gathering that he did, he always went into the community and connected with people far from God. And so the word go means go. We go into the community. We go into the restaurant. We go into the grocery store. We go into the gas station. And we intentionally have our perception ready to connect with people who might be disconnected from God. Sometimes it's an isolated one-time thing. Sometimes it's a build relationship thing. But the point is that Jesus made is it's about the people who were disconnected from God. And so as we went through all those statistics represent people. And it is the people that are the point. And Jesus said to go and invite people to follow Jesus. And then he gives a little bit of clarity as to what that looks like. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. When we hear this phrase, all the commands, some of us might think that Jesus is talking about the Ten Commandments. And he is kinda, but kinda not. The Jewish religious leaders had actually turned the Ten Commandments into 613 different commands that people had to follow. Some of us might think about the commands that Jesus talked about in what's called the Sermon on the Mount, where he talked about how to manage money and how to manage relationships and different types of attitudes and things like that, that followers of Jesus should display that would make life better and us better at life. So we think about the Sermon on the Mount and the things that Jesus taught in there. And yeah, he's talking about those and kinda not. Because when Jesus was asked about what the greatest commandment was, he said the greatest command, all of the commands, are summed up in two things. Love God and love others. He said all of the law and all of the prophets, all of the commands are wrapped up in those two things, love God, love others. And I have to believe that our world would be radically different and radically better if we, as people and as followers of Jesus, just got better at doing those two things. So that's one of the statements that Jesus made that leads me to believe the church should intentionally strive to connect with people in the community and invite them to follow Jesus. But there's another statement that Jesus made that leads me to believe this as well. As he's ready to hand off the baton of the reason he came, the purpose, the mission that he was on to his followers, the first century doctor and historian Luke records the last words that Jesus says to his follower before he returns to heaven. And here's what Luke records for us. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, if I was a part of that group on the mountainside that day, there's a word that Jesus uses here that would cause a little bit of attention for me. It's the word you. Because after all, I'm standing there in a group of people, so certainly Jesus must not mean you. He must mean the other yous that are gathered there. Because I watched pretty closely, and I didn't really see Jesus make eye contact with me, and if Jesus didn't make eye contact with me, then maybe he wasn't talking to me, maybe he was talking to everyone else. But just as go means go, if you're a follower of Jesus, you means you. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you are to be his witness. And what does it mean to be a witness? A witness is defined as someone who affords evidence, provides proof of something. And Jesus' followers had plenty of proof. They had their eyewitness account of the things they'd seen him do. They had their eyewitness account of the things they'd heard him teach. They had their eyewitness account of his crucifixion and his burial. And they had their eyewitness account and many other people's eyewitness account of his resurrection. You see, they would serve as witnesses, not just for the things that he did and the things that he taught, but they would serve as witnesses for the very person that he is, the Son of God, sent to redeem sin and to provide the path to right relationship with God. They would serve as a witness. Followers of Jesus are to serve as a witness for the role that Jesus plays in their life. To people who are managing the demands and expectations of life, and people who are pursuing their hopes and dreams, we are to serve as witnesses to one another. We are to serve as witnesses to other followers of Jesus. And we are to serve as witnesses to people who are not yet followers of Jesus. Jesus says that you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere. Now, hold on a minute. Everywhere sounds like a pretty big deal. And I'm only one you. And the idea of you telling people everywhere is a little bit overwhelming. And the reality is that it's not just only you, it's the group of yous that Jesus was talking to that day. And the group of yous that are followers of Jesus throughout history that are given the same mission, the same charge, the same command that Jesus gave to those people that day. It seems overwhelming, which is why the progression of location that Jesus mentioned is so incredibly important. In Jerusalem, see, Jerusalem was a city. in Judea. Judea was a larger region in which Jerusalem was located. In Samaria. Samaria was a region adjacent to Judea, even to the ends of the earth. It's almost like Jesus tells his followers, start where you are and then go from there. Start in your neighborhood. Start in that restaurant. Start in that bank. Start in that grocery store. Start in that gas station. And then expand to your city. And then expand to your state. And then to your region. And then to your country. And if followers of Jesus are doing what Jesus did by going into the community and connecting with people disconnected from God and inviting them to follow Jesus, if followers of Jesus are doing that in their neighborhoods, in their backyards, and then going from there, the good news of God's kingdom, the good news of God's grace, the good news that God loved us enough that Jesus died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, to redeem us from them, to restore the relationships with God that are broken as a result of sin. That news then spreads as followers of Jesus simply do what Jesus did. It may seem overwhelming, and there may seem a lot of reasons why you, me included, us, we, can't do that. But remember that Jesus was gathered there that day with a group of Jesus followers. And so if you're a Jesus follower, this is what Jesus expects of us to do. It is something we are to do as we follow what Jesus did. The reality is, the community around us is changing. And the pace at which the community around us is changing is accelerated. But the reality is, the change is taking place, whether we view it positively or negatively. And one of those changes is the number of homes that are being built, which means the number of people that are within an 8-mile radius of this church is increasing. And each and every one of those people, in some way, shape, or form, is pursuing their hopes and dreams and managing the expectations and demands of life. And I believe that this church is positioned to help them discover how to do that effectively, to discover right relationship with God, and discover how following Jesus makes life better and makes us better at life. The title of this message is For the Eight. And kind of the idea there is asking the question, what can we do? What will we do for the people that live in the 8-mile radius around this church, trusting and believing that if we do that, that influence will expand beyond just our neighborhood, our community, our state, and we will be a part of fulfilling what Jesus said, of taking the good news of God's kingdom to the ends of the earth. We are in the process of developing some strategic plans about how to do that, how to connect, how to engage, how to love our community well, so that even if people who live in this area go, I'm not sure that I know what you believe, and I'm not sure that I even agree with what you believe, but I sure like the way you love people. I sure like the way you love on our community. And that love of our community and that love for people and that love for me makes me a little bit more open to the invitation to hear why you love the way you love. As we work on these plans, there are a couple of things that we would ask to like to ask specifically of you. The first is that we would like to ask you to pray. If you're someone who is a follower of Jesus and you do the prayer thing, we'd like to ask you to pray. If you're someone who's not a follower of Jesus, we'd still love to have you pray. We'd love to have you pray for the people that live in the 8-mile radius and pray for the plans as they're being developed, that those plans would connect with the people, because the people are the point. And even pray for the people beyond the 8-mile radius, you know, the progression of places that Jesus mentioned. And then we'd like to ask you to prepare. We would like to ask you to prepare to engage with the tools and the resources and plans as they come out. Engage in the plan to connect with the community and invite people to follow Jesus. And if you're watching from another area, an area that's not even remotely close to Hurricane Community Church, we'd ask you to do the same thing. Pray for us as we continue this journey, but also pray for your community and pray for the plans of how your community can be impacted with the good news of God's kingdom. I believe that this church is positioned to specifically reach and connect with people in an 8-mile radius disconnected from God. And I hope that what Jesus said to his followers on that mountainside will not be a discouragement, but will be an encouragement. Will not be a burden, but will be a responsibility that we fully embrace with conviction, with grace, with humility, and with love. When Jesus summed up all the commands, it was love God, love others. The point is the people. People matter to God, and people matter to us. So what will we do for the 8? Let me pray as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for this challenge that Jesus issued to his followers on that mountainside. And it's not just a challenge that's issued to the followers of Jesus on that mountainside. It's a challenge that's issued to all followers of Jesus in all times, in all places, throughout all of history. And it is a challenge that is issued to followers of Jesus today. It is a challenge issued to followers of Jesus that collectively make up Hurricane Community Church. And it is a challenge issued to individuals who are followers of Jesus, to go and invite people to follow Jesus. God, help us to do it well. Help us to do it wisely. Help us to do it in a way that is effective in connecting people with you who may be disconnected, who may be in the group of nuns, who may be in the group of fewer people who believe in you and believe in Jesus. God, help us as followers of Jesus to go and make followers, to be witnesses of who you are and what Jesus did as your Son to redeem sin, to restore right relationship with you, and to help people pursue their hopes and dreams, and manage the expectations and demands of life. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for choosing to spend this part of your day with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. We certainly hope it's not your last time. And in the meantime, if you'd like to connect with us further, you can email us at hello@hurricanecommunity.church, or you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. And we would love to help you take your next step in your relationship with God.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.